Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our coming Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Please pray with me a moment. Christ, whose glory fills the skies, thou the true and only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Day spring from on high, be near, day star in our hearts appear. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, December days descend into darkness. Every day, less and less light from the sun brightens our world. We ward off the night by lighting our electric lamps. The ancient Romans burned oil lamps. They lifted the depressing mood of the month with the celebrations of Saturnalia, endless gift-giving, party-going, and drinking. They began on the 17th and continued for days, sometimes, goodness knows, days on end. On the shortest day, then the 25th of December, they celebrated the feast of Natalis Sol Invicti, the birth of the invincible sun, by worshiping their gods Sol Invictus, the invincible sun, and possibly Mithra, the Eastern mystery cult that was favored by the Roman army. From that day forward, light slowly returned until midsummer. Since the 4th century, the church also celebrates the rising and the returning of the sun on that day, the Sun of Righteousness. He came, he comes, and he will come with healing on his wings. We can be sure, as we wait for his comings, that the day of the Lord is surely drawing near. How can we be so certain? Because prophecies long before the events of the New Testament were fulfilled in all of their detail by the coming of the Word made flesh. The long prophesied return of Elijah the prophet came in the form of John the Baptist. On the day of the announcement to Zechariah, the angel Gabriel quoted this very passage, saying that he would be great and would unite the Father with the Son and the Son with the Father. In that day, the preparation began for the coming of Christ, and we did not have to wait all of that long. The Word became flesh, lived a perfect life for our sake, suffered and died on the cross for our sins, rose for our justification and for our resurrection, and ascended into heaven. Because God kept his word in detail, we can be sure that he will continue to keep his promises. After all, we have even experienced that keeping of his promises. For God with us just doesn't come once a year on the feast of the Nativity of our Lord. God with us is with us every day of our lives, from the day when he came to us in water to the everyday experience of his coming to us in his word, to those times when we receive his sacrament of bread and wine, where he himself is present in his body and blood for us. And so he not only came, but he comes to us each and every day of our lives and has promised that he would be with us even to the end of the age, to the end even of our time or the end of time itself. Soon, and more soon than we would actually probably like to admit, as soon as the last person has come to faith in Christ, the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised, and Christ will return in his second advent, and then the partying really begins on the day that the marriage feast of the Lamb commences and never ends. That day is truly coming. And in the meantime, there are much things to think about in terms of it. That day is truly going to be awful in every sense of the word. There is all of the results of God's wrath being poured out upon this sinful world, described by Malachi and by the prophet John the Baptist and by the apostles as a day of fire and burning when everything will be reduced to ashes, where the old will pass away so that the new can come. There are many reasons why our fathers and mothers in the Middle Ages trembled at the thought of the second coming of Christ, even though they really shouldn't have. Because they realized that when you say, God, go get them, punish the evil ones, that meant them too. That they also will experience the day of the Lord in this way. But for those who are trusting in Christ, who truly fear him, the end of days is not so much a frightening thing as it is a joyous thing, because he is coming, that Son of Righteousness, with healing on his wings, so that when all sin, death, and the power of the devil is purged from us, when he purifies the sons of Levi that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness, the result will be that we, freed once and for all of our old Adam, with our bodies risen from the dead and blessed with the presence of Christ himself and with the sight of him face to face, we will be what he intended us to be from the very beginning. And that is the day of the presence of Christ with us in a real, tangible, physical sense of that word, forever and ever. And so, while you may be a little tense and nervous about the Mayans saying something about the 21st of this month, maybe we should instead be saying, oh goody, it is time to go to be with Christ forever and ever. Because for the Christian, the Son of Righteousness rising in the heavens, bringing healing on his wings, is a good thing, a very good thing indeed. For he is the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, whom the prophet Elijah, reborn in John the Baptist, noticed and pointed out to his disciples. He is the one who carried those sins to the cross and paid the penalty for them once and for all, and appeased the wrath of God with his own blood. It is he who rose again from the dead and broke the seal of the grave once and for all, and was the first fruit of those who had fallen asleep. Because he died and rose again from the dead, we too will rise to new life. For he is the resurrection and the life. He who believes in him, even if he dies, yet shall he live. And he who lives and believes in him will never die. And as if that weren't good enough, he will come at the end of our time, or at the time of the end itself, to take us home to be with him, to be his bride, the church, with all the saints of the Old and the New Testament and all the ages since then, gathered around the throne of God as his beloved bride at the marriage feast of the Lamb itself. It is then for us now to rejoice in all these things and to wait and to be awake, knowing that these days have come, are coming, and will come, and to walk in confidence with him as we witness to what he has done in our lives by both word and deed, and as we proclaim the great good news of the Son of Righteousness soon to arise forever and ever. In this passage, the Old Testament concludes, not a particularly encouraging word, the word korem, or to be damned forever. Imagine being a Jewish person and knowing that the last word that a prophet spoke for 400 years was korem. But there is also at the end of the New Testament a much nicer word. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And now may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you both now and forever. Amen.